Welcome to the Do This, Feel Better podcast.
Do this, feel better. Do this, feel better. Do this, feel better.
The podcast that shares tips on how you can feel better during these crazy times. That was the tagline that I created for this show back in 2020 when I started it. You know, because 2020, as we all remember, was crazy times. But why change the tagline in 2022? Because it's not like it's less crazy. It's just different crazy in 2022. So I'm here today to tell you a story about my new dog. Oh, yes, I got a new dog. She is a Border Collie Black Lab mix. Sweetness of a Black Lab with the crazy of a Border Collie. Her name is Daisy. Crazy Daisy. But before I tell you about Daisy, let me tell you about our first dog. So we have to slide into the Wayback Machine. This goes back to Detroit. Jenny and I, my wife Jenny and I, lived in Detroit in Livonia, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit. West Side! From 2000 to 2003. And Jenny did not want kids. She was not having it. And I was the one that wanted kids. She'll tell you the story about how I used to have these dreams about having kids. Strange. My clock was ticking. And so I couldn't get her to agree to have kids, but she agreed to have a dog. And even that was a bit of a stretch because she didn't grow up as a dog person. And, you know, if you've never experienced dogs in your life and only on a periodic basis, it's very much not the same. And her parents had cats, so she grew up a cat person. And being a cat person, a dog person is a whole different ball of wax for so many reasons. And also, like I think a lot of people, I've heard stories like this. She had an experience when she was younger, a negative experience with a dog, involving a violent dog, a bite. And if you have an experience like that with a dog and you haven't experienced life with a dog, that could really color your experience in a really bad way and you wouldn't want a dog. And that was the case with her. And I tried to explain that dogs were, that wasn't a good representation of all dogs. Well, one day we went to the animal shelter in Westland, Michigan. And she'd never been to an animal shelter or an SPCA. And we went in there and, you know, if you're trying to get someone to buy a dog, that is one way to do it because shelters are some of the saddest places on earth with these dogs looking at you that are so needy. And there was this one dog that just kind of spoke to me and her name was Shelby. And we took her outside and we played with her a little bit. And you could just tell that Shelby was super skittish. She didn't really want to play with anybody, but there was something, I don't know. I just felt this connection with her for some reason. And then it turns out that they tell us at the shelter that Shelby was labeled as a violent dog, said she attacked two workers at the shelter. And I'm thinking to myself, how could this be? Shelby was a Shetland sheepdog, which they call Shelties. Not a very big dog. I mean, you're talking about like 40 pounds. They look like a miniature Lassie, a miniature Collie, even though they're a different breed. They're both herding dogs. Like, how could this dog have attacked people? Jenny and I talked about it, and we ended up taking a chance on Shelby. We took her home. And you could really, it became pretty apparent why that happened at the shelter, because there were a lot of signs that she was giving that she was more than likely abused. And so she was very skittish, very scared, and would fight back. But boy, she warmed up to us very, very quickly. And the transformation was astronomical to the point where, you know, she just became the sweetest dog you could ever imagine. Used to call her mommy dog because she would hang around Jenny all the time when she was gardening, when we ended up having our kids. You know, she would kind of circle them like sheep, like a herding dog would. And she was just so sweet. She would chase airplanes in the backyard, which our neighbor Dave thought was hilarious. Anytime an airplane would, because we were in a flight path. So anytime the plane would go above, she would look up in the sky and roo, 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 roo. And she had some crazy in her, the stories of Shelby, I could tell you. There was one time that we were celebrating a birthday. So we went to a Mexican restaurant and we had a red velvet cake on the counter. We thought it was far back enough on the counter. But when we came home from the Mexican restaurant, gone. Crumbs. That was like little red and black crumbs on the platform that the cake was on the floor. And her just looking up with chocolate all over her mouth. Ridiculous. Which, of course, then we had to do what you have to do with a vet when a dog gets chocolate. So that was terrible. But that was when she really showed her agility, the red velvet cake. She would eat entire loaves of bread. She was a carboholic. She once walked, we were doing a wine tasting, and she walked across the room and looked at us, and she had a turkey carcass in her mouth. I don't even know when we last had turkey. Shelby, where did you get that turkey carcass? She once hit a steak with her stuffed toys. A steak. Oh, that dog was something else. So when Shelby got sick, this was our first dog. And anyone that's gone through having any animal sick, not just a dog, but you go through that experience and then you have to make that terrible decision of whether or not to euthanize the animal. And she was just in terrible shape, and we had to do something. And we took her to the vet and did it at the vet. And it was just, you know, the vet's office is fine, but it was very clinical and the vet was caring as possible, but I don't know. It was just an awful experience. And so some time passed after Shelby passed away. Oh, and by the way, that same summer, in fact, within weeks or a week, it was so close together. I lost my grandfather and my dog within weeks of each other. That was a terrible summer. And so we ended up getting another dog sooner than I would have expected because the emotions were so high. It was like, okay, we gotta get another dog. And so we did. We got Thisbe. Now, Thisbe we got from, now we knew the Sheltie breed, loved the Sheltie breed, and at this point we're living in Raleigh, and they have a Sheltie rescue in Triangle Sheltie Rescue in our area. So we rescued a Sheltie named Thisbe, who also, I think, had been abused. This dog was fantastic, loved her, also a bit crazy, also a carboholic. And then while we had Thisbe, we ended up rescuing a dog named Harley. And Harley was not supposed to be forever home material. We fostered him. Ha ha. Try that out and then try to send him back. Of course, fell in love with Harley, who we nicknamed Mr. Snuggles. Because that dog would let you snuggle him anywhere, anytime. He was just this big ball of fur. So fast forward to last year, this is now 2021, both dogs passed away within, oh, let me see, one was in, I think, March or April, and the other one was in October. So within 6 months of each other, we lost both of those dogs. During that time, I don't remember who mentioned it to me. I had just never heard of this, but I discovered, and this is why I'm sharing it with you, we discovered at-home euthanasia. Now, actually, there are a number of companies that do this. There's like a national company that does it. We found someone local to do it. But this is such a gift. And I had to share this with you because this comes back to the theme. Do this, feel better. There's nothing good about a pet dying. All you can do is try to make it as painless an experience as possible. That's not even the right word. Painless isn't the right word. But we found this woman locally who came in and euthanized both of our dogs in our home. Now, in the case of Thisbe, this was when COVID was still very much amped up and everyone was wearing masks, even inside. And so we did it outside, but that worked out really well because Thisbe loved the deck and she loved being outside. So I was able to be outside with her. You know, she couldn't stand up and I laid down next to her on the deck and you know, I was able to be right next to her and put my hand on her and pet her as it was done outside where she loved to be. And it was peaceful and it was beautiful and it was just so much better than a vet's office, you know? And then the 6 months or so later, when Harley passed away, and we were able to call the same woman who was so extraordinary. And in this case, Harley was in such bad shape at that point that outside didn't really make sense. We wanted to do it on the couch. He was in my wife's arms. You know, we just all started crying. And she and the woman who does the euthanasia, she's crying with us. There was so much compassion. I just remember thinking, like, to be able to do that job has got to be so difficult. And it's not like, it's not her full-time job either. She does it. That's a labor of love, giving that gift to people. And then, you know, taking care of the cremation and sending that back in a beautiful box with a message. And it was just, that experience was so much better. And so when you have to go through that experience of an animal going to the Rainbow Bridge, I highly, highly, highly recommend finding someone that does in-home euthanasia, because it's not going to make it easier, but there's a really good chance it'll make it better. After Harley and Thisbe died, you're coming out of 2020. It was the pandemic starts. 2021, we're still in it. Two dogs die. I said to myself, we need a break. We've got to just put the brakes on for a little bit until we do this again. I knew we would eventually get another dog, but had to stop for a minute. So we waited a full 8 months. And I'm not sure we're even ready for this, but for whatever reason, I said to the kids and Jenny, let's go down to the Wake County Animal Shelter. When we walked to the shelter, July, and there's a sign out front of the shelter as we're walking in that says, shelter is full, not accepting any more animals. And we had also heard a story that even though it's a no-kill shelter, you know, they were going to have to make some decisions because it was so full. It turns out, this made sense once we thought about it, this was right after July 4th. They started experiencing this massive surge of animals into the shelter. If you put that two and two together there, think about 4th of July and fireworks and how many dogs were scared of fireworks and how many ran away, got away, were given away after that time. And so there was this surge into the shelters. And so walking around and seeing just dog after dog after dog, there were so many of them. There were three or four Siberian Huskies in there. I mean, I saw so many different breeds. You expect to see pit bulls, which are always unfairly characterized. There were so many other breeds there. And we found Daisy there, who I told you about at the top of the show, mix of a border collie and black lab. She has been a blessing. She's been on one level. She's only 1 year old, so she's still really a puppy. And she's nuts, and she's not really potty trained, and she's not really house trained, and so she's more work than I expected, right? But on the other hand, the joy of, you know, when you have kids, if you've ever had kids, and you know when they're little, and you come back home from work. Now, I work at the home office, so I wouldn't have experienced this then, but back then, you know, coming home from my commute at the end of the day, baby or toddler is waiting there at the window for daddy. How great is that feeling? Like one of the greatest you'll ever experience as a parent. And then when the kids get older, you're like, what happened to you? Why are you a teenager now? And why don't you greet me at the door? Why don't you smile? Oh, let's get a dog. Because they'll do those things. And it really is sweet, right? Like you walk in the door and the dog is jumping. And she's kissing and she's snuggling and wagging that tail like crazy, knocking over things. And it's just so great though, right? It just to bring that kind of love in. Now she's so crazy that she licked apart her stitches within 2 days after being spayed at the shelter. And so we have to take her into the vet. And it turns out that, you know, she had to be wrapped and we had to go back 3 or 4 times. And then it's like, oh, we're going to have to do surgery again and do this. And so I like, man, I am so in the hole in this dog already. But it is precious to have Daisy in the house. And so, you know, if you've never owned a dog, do consider it. And certainly consider going down to the rescue. Go down to the shelter. There are so many dogs that need homes, especially right now. And the other takeaway from this episode that I want you to remember is look into, when the time comes, in-home euthanasia. It's a truly beautiful service that is provided to those going through a grieving time when an animal is sick and needs to go to the Rainbow Bridge. I thank you for listening to this episode of Do This Feel Better? You can find us on all the podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you like it, I appreciate it if you tell your friends. Talk to you next time. Do this, feel better, do this.